I'm Francine, bringing you more reviews, recaps, and rants on all your favorite K-dramas. This is Drama Buds, an anime podcast. So hello everyone, welcome to today's episode of Drama Buds. So last week, we celebrated the third anniversary of the podcast. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. It still has not fully sunk in that I have been doing this for 3 years. And yeah, that's crazy. Let's leave that to the final thoughts. Anyway, now I'm a person who loves it when the stars and the universe align. I love, you know, seeing patterns in coincidences and calling it fate or whatever. And I think it is actually fate that on the episode where we're celebrating the third anniversary of Drama Buds, I'm talking about Castaway Diva, which stars Park Eun-bin, who was on the very first episode of this podcast. We talked about her in Do You Like Brahms? And it's written by Park Hyeryun, my greatest nemesis, my enemy for so long. And for so long, the most listened to episode of this podcast was the startup episode, Please Don't Listen to It. It's 2 hours of just anger. I have never listened to it since we posted it, I think. And I will say now that I don't know what she said, what, you know, 2020 me said. And I don't know if I can stand by her opinion, so listen to me today. I will speak for myself only today. And the funny thing is, this was supposed to be scheduled next week until I found out that Castaway Diva only has 12 episodes. So the stars aligned for this to be the halfway point of Castaway Diva. It's the perfect time to talk about what's up so far, how do I like it, the good, the bad, and the verdict. So basic details, Castaway Diva is, yes, written by Park Hyeryun, which if you didn't know why I have such a love-hate relationship with her, she's the writer of Startup, While You Were Sleeping, Pinocchio, I Hear Your Voice, Dream High. I have watched all of those. She is probably my most watched writer. And it has the same PD as Startup, While You Were Sleeping, and Big Mouth. And it stars Park Eun-bin, who I watched first in Do You Like Brahms. She's in Hot Stove League, Extraordinary Attorney Woo. It also stars Kim Yo-jin, who I don't think I've seen anywhere. It stars Che Jong-yeop, who I first saw in Hot Stove League as well, and also Love I'll Play. And Cha Hak-yeon, who I watched in Mine. So Castaway Diva is about a girl from a seaside village who wanted to go to Seoul to become a singer like her idol, but she got swept away to a deserted island. And after 15 years, they found her and she decides to, you know, help her idol make a comeback because she became a washed up singer after 15 years as well. So for the first part, I will try not to make any comparisons to previous Park Hyeryun dramas. We have a whole segment on that, of course. But for now, the good and the bad. Now, as always, as we all expected, and I assume everyone who has had some experience with Park Hyeryun, we all came in with the expectation that this first episode better be a masterclass in writing a pilot. And although it's not her best pilot so far, it's a great pilot. It really is. Because we meet Mokha as this, you know, loud, bumbling fangirl who is obsessed with her idol, with Yoon Ranju. And we think that, you know, she's just a typical loud teenager who wants to get out of the countryside and come to Seoul and to pursue her dreams. But yeah, as we find out more about her, we realize that she has a troubled past. She's being abused by her father and she's doing this more than just to pursue her dreams, but also to get out of this situation. And we also meet Jong Ki-ho, her classmate, and we think he's just like typical cold guy, but we find out that he's also being abused by his father and he's also saving up to be able to escape. And so we build a strong emotional connection with, you know, the childhood versions of these characters, you know, fighting to make their way out of their village and their abusive fathers. And he helps her pursue her dream and almost gets her to Seoul. And then they get caught and Mokha is swept away to an island and then, you know, we get a time skip and she's Park Eun-bin now. She's been living there for 15 years, scavenging to survive. And then she's found by, you know, two guys. And given that this is a K-drama, we know one of them is Ki-ho. And even from episode 2, I already knew who Ki-ho would be. But yeah, that's how we are introduced to everything. Mokha has missed 15 years of her life. Like, yes, she's 31, but her behavior still feels like a 16-year-old because, you know, how else could she have modeled behavior of someone who became an adult and matured? And all she knows is she left Kiho on that island. She has no idea where he is and if he survived being with his father. And two, she still loves Ranju and still wants to support her. And that pretty much guides her entire journey all throughout. Now, I know musicals are polarizing to some people. I know some people are not into it, but I am. If you don't know how much I love musicals, go listen to the, oh my god, the 100th episode of the podcast. I talked all about a bunch of musical K-dramas. Musicals are my passion. Every drama would be better if people just start singing and dancing out of nowhere. This is not that kind of drama, don't worry. She just sings in like appropriate times, okay? And I like the musical aspect. I like how we meet Ranju as, you know, a washed up singer. Haha, washed up, just like Mokha was. Whoa, metaphors. Amazing. So Castaway Diva could be both of them who are kind of exiled from the world, not of their own choice. Yes, yes. Okay, that's the metaphor. Anyway, so we meet Ranju, you know, 15 years after her prime and she got nodules and she's a drinker and a smoker. Like, she's not in her best condition and Mokha still is, and she becomes Ranju's ghost singer who sings for her backstage while Ranju lip syncs. I like that. I mean, when I watched episode 2, when I first watched Mokha singing backstage for Ranju, and, you know, Eunbin's voice is very, very pretty, by the way. Park Eunbin can really sing. I love her. I don't know, I cried in that scene. Oh my gosh. I'm very emotional when people start singing, okay? Like, you can really feel how earnestly Mokha just wants to sing. But of course, you know, the industry is against her. Like, she's 31. She's way too old to train and to debut now. And so this is her only opportunity to sing. And you know what? Even if it's not her on stage, it's Ranju. It's her idol. It's the person who has kept her going and has motivated her to keep living. Like, it's still worth it. She's still willing to do it. I love that. That really touched my heart. But I'm glad that the lip-syncing storyline is ending by episode 6. I think things have been revealed. We are moving on from that. Great. So anyway, the thing that's giving me the most brain rot about this show is that it reminds me of Idol The Coup. Okay, guys, we're back. This really is the 3rd anniversary. We really are celebrating everything I love. It's time for an Idol The Coup throwback. So if you didn't know, Idol The Coup is an idol show about a failed girl group who's about to be disbanded, but they make a wager with their new CEO that they're gonna win on a music show within 6 months, and if so, they won't disband. And in Castaway Diva, Ranju's former manager started a new company with her, and he promised that when she sells 20 million albums all throughout her career, he'll give her half the shares of his company. But of course, that promise was easy to make, but 15 years later, it's worth millions, and he doesn't want to let go of that, so he, you know, sabotages her as much as he can. And anyway, what drives me nuts is that they remind me of of Jenna and CEO Cha, okay? Because her former manager, the CEO now, Sojun, by the way, who is played by Kim Joo-hoon, who I loved in Dr. Romantic 2 as President Park, where he was also, you know, a morally gray president who is trying to get in the way of our protagonist. Come on, this is the best kind of role. Anyway, I knew from their interactions in the flashbacks that there would be something. And then, yeah, episode 4 happened and she almost kissed him. And I thought, oh my god, this is it. But it's not it. He is, quote-unquote, the bad guy getting in the way of their dreams. And, oh, I'm so into it. I have hope. My brain is still there. My brain still has hope that something's gonna happen there. Don't worry. But okay, ignoring that, okay, let's talk about Ranju. Because I really, really like her. Actually, Kim Yo-jin is second in the billing, which is very, very surprising. Usually it's, you know, female lead, male lead, second male lead, second female lead. But this time, it's female lead, second female lead, and then ML, second ML. And you know what? They are giving her that much respect as well. Like, she is not being sidelined in the show. I'm really genuinely surprised and happy with that. I like that episode 5 focused on Ranju's past and showed that not everyone in her life was malicious towards her. You know, she also made it out of that island because someone believed in her talent, just like Mokha did. And I don't know, I think it's exhausting if everyone in the world is against you. So I'm glad that there are some background characters who are, you know, good people and support her. And my favorite, you know, childhood connection of them all is not Mokha and Kiho. No, it's Mokha and Ranju, who she, you know, heard singing when she was like, 4 years old and Ranju was in elementary school. It's so cute. It's so heartwarming. I don't know. I just really love their relationship. I'm glad that the relationship of the female leads is being given as much importance as it deserves. Because her role in Mocha's life is just as important as Kiho's. Have I not said anything about Kiho yet? I liked him, of course, in the pilot, in the flashback. And for the most part, it's just been this low-key mystery of who between Bogol and Wuhak is actually Kiho. Because, you know, there are so many clues telling us that it's one of them. And I'm glad it's been revealed by the time I can release this episode so that I don't have to say something, say my guess, and be wrong. But yeah, by episode 2, I already knew it was Bogol. Come on! The signs were all there. Everyone who denies it is just, yeah, in denial. But by episode 2, you already know. But I will have more to say about Kiho later. Let's gloss over some of the negatives, I guess. I'd say so far, and this is pretty hard to say, but Mocha is the least interesting character. And that's weird to say. She's not a bad character, right? I mean, I root for her, I like her, but the thing is, that's it. Like, that's what she's meant to be. You're meant to like her, you're meant to root for her, that's it. But she's very one-dimensional. She has a bunch of, you know, obstacles and struggles. It's all external. But internally, I don't think there's anything she really needs to face or anything that she's dealing with. Of course, she'd love to be a singer. She has no hesitations about that. But the things stopping her from doing that are external. Because she's too old. Because the CEO doesn't want this. Because she's just Ranju's manager. Because she still has to be a ghost singer. Finding Kiho is not an internal thing. There is nothing internally stopping her from doing that. It's just that, you know, she doesn't know where Kiho is or who Kiho is. Yeah, what I will say is that with everyone else, like with Ranju, she's dealing with some confidence issues. That's why she thinks she has nodules. She thinks she can't sing, but she's actually perfectly healthy. So there's some internal aspect of that. With Kiho or with Bogol and with Wuhak, yeah, their stuff is external. It's about their abusive father who's chasing after them. But what makes them interesting is, of course, you know, the Kiho mystery for the most part of the show. Who was Kiho all this time? So I think they have been interesting for a while now. We'll see how that changes now that we know who Kiho is and now that Bogol is actually doing much more instead of just standing in the background because he's been sidelined for a bit, of course, to keep the suspense. But yeah, we'll see where that goes. But so far, he's been interesting. Mocha is just, yeah, she just has hurdle after hurdle. But as a character, not the most interesting. The music itself is not bad, but it's not very memorable. And hey, this is from the director who, you know, gave us Future by Red Velvet in Startup. Forever my favorite OST. I don't think anything has ever touched it. Even the way I felt, you know, watching Startup, hearing Future for the first time, like, it's really unmatched. But yes, the music is not bad, and I like that Park Eun-bin sings everything. Her voice really is lovely, but yeah, it stops there. And here's my nitpick. I think the episodes are 10 minutes longer than they should be. I think they should be 60 minutes flat. Like, I remember episode 3 to 4 were really boring for me because, yeah, a lot of, like, Ranju and Mocha's, like, drunk shenanigans were so skippable. Like, okay, we get it. They're fun and they really like each other. Let's stop there. Yeah, there's a lot of filler there. But the things that are related to the plot and to the characters, they are good. It's just that we could make this a little bit tighter. But so far, yes, those are my thoughts on Castaway Diva alone. Let's get into the Park Hyeryun cinematic universe comparisons. Oh, finally, finally, I have waited years to be able to use all this knowledge in my brain about writer Park Hyeryun in her dramas. So if you didn't know my history with writer Park Hyeryun, I watched Startup early in my K-drama watching days when it was ongoing. And yes, I was in all the fan wars and whatever. I don't stand by what 2020 me was saying in the podcast. I don't know what she was saying back then, but I've realized now that I did not watch that properly. I don't count it as a finished drama. And I cannot ever give it a second chance. There are just too many strong emotions for everyone involved there that I just cannot do it. But I do try my best to be as objective about it with what little I can remember about my feelings, at least. Then after some time, I decided, you know what? I'm gonna watch every major drama of this writer. I need to know where it all went wrong with Startup. And so I watched Pinocchio first, and that was kind of meh. I mean, there were some good aspects, but I don't like Park Chan-ye, so I think from the get-go, I knew I wasn't gonna love that. And then I went even further back in time, I watched I Hear Your Voice, and that one I loved. I loved Lee Boyoung so much. We'll talk about her and her character later, but yeah, I think the older I got, the more I liked her writing. I felt that there was an edge to it. Like, despite still being rough and flawed in many ways, there was an edge to it that she lacked in Startup. And then I last watched in her Lee Jong-suk trilogy. The last one I watched was While You Were Sleeping because, you know, I've heard a lot of good things. Everyone totally hyped it up. And I found myself underwhelmed. So I thought, I really don't know what to feel about this woman because they're all watchable. I could finish all of them. And there are good aspects. Of course, her pilots are immaculate. I think she should run a masterclass. But there's just something. And then just recently, earlier this year, I went way, way back in time and I watched Dream High, which is my favorite work of hers. I'm very biased because I love musicals. And yeah, I noticed that edge she had for some reason that she just kind of polished and polished and polished over time. And yeah, I missed that edge. So, okay, going to Castaway Diva, looking at this synopsis and the setup and everything and knowing her after watching all her major dramas, it felt a little bit like a return to some of her old favorites. Like, she's into, you know, music and pursuing your dreams. I think Startup was heavy on the, you know, pursuing your dreams aspect. I see that. She loves reporters. We have reporters in Pinocchio and While You Were Sleeping. And now Woo Hak is a reporter. And I like that she brought back the, you know, the life-threatening villain bad guy. Because, okay, as far as I know, or as much as I remember, Dream High did not have, like, a murderer or, like, someone threatening to kill them. Startup had one of them, right? One of the Samsans threatening to kill Good Boy for what happened to his brother back then, right? But in the Lee Jong-suk trilogy, there was really, like, life-threatening baddie bad guy. And when they lost that in Startup, or it was just such a, you know, such a side detail that was given such an anticlimactic reveal, I don't know, it just didn't have the same stakes that those other dramas did. Of course, given the genre, you know, pursuing your dreams, yada yada, yes, it didn't fit. But in here, they found a way to make a life threatener, villain, murderer fit within the backstory and within, you know, what's happening to them in the present while Mokha is pursuing her dreams. I like the stakes that adds to it. And I like that there is also another villain who is about, you know, the pursuing your dreams aspect. Although, you know, I'm still holding on to the hope that Sojun can be redeemed so we can have the little something-something with him and Ranju. I'm just saying, that's just me. But yes, I mean, there's a healthy level of, there are stakes to them, you know, keeping Kiho hidden, keeping him hidden from Mokha. And there are also, you know, aspirational stakes. I think there's a decent balance and I'm interested in both sides of the story. So I mentioned earlier that I don't really care for Mokha as much as I'd love to, as much as I want to. Because she is likable, she is a good person. But yeah, she has done nothing wrong ever and will do nothing wrong because she's not very complex. And that's what I miss the most about Park Hyerun's female leads. I think they have become more and more like just one-note good people who want to do the right thing or want to pursue their dreams and that's it. Because I remember I really loved Lawyer Jang, I Hear Your Voice's female lead. Because she starts out as a defense attorney who is only here for the money, doesn't care about the cases, doesn't care to put in as much work as the other, you know, public defenders. And she's unlikable and she takes everything and everyone for granted. And so when she loses her mother, who she took for granted all this time, we understand why she is unable to be rational about her anger towards the man who killed her mother. But yeah, eventually she does become a better lawyer and a better person. I don't know, I felt like there was a character journey because she started at a much lower point. Like morally and, you know, personally, she started at a much lower point. And I just feel like when you start out with, yes, very sympathetic, very nice, very pleasant female lead who we just root for, the only journey is just like from 0 to 100. Meanwhile, with Lawyer Jang, we started from like a negative 50. Which is better than the female lead in Dream High, who was like a negative 100 to maybe a 30, maybe a 50, you know? Dream High's female lead was the most unlikable. But I have to admit that maybe it is affected by Suzy's acting. Although in her defense, she was 16 years old and we have to give her all the leeway and all the space to not be a good actress as a child. My God, that didn't help her. But yes, I miss Park Hyeryun's unlikable female leads. Personally, I think I can handle them being a little more unlikable versus they're meant to be likable but I don't like them. Just how I felt about Dalmi in Startup. My dislike for Suzy may have affected that. But as a disclaimer, Suzy is completely forgiven. We like Suzy. We support Suzy. In summary, I miss Park Hyeryun's unlikable female leads. And, okay, the most interesting part. Who is Kiho? And is there a love triangle? Are we doing the iconic Park Hyeryun love triangles? Well, okay. When I watched the first two episodes and we were introduced to Kiho, and then in the second episode, it wasn't Kiho, it was Bogol and Uhak. My first impression was, she learned from the mistakes of Startup. Because in Startup, we spend the entire first episode with Ji Pyeong. We are so invested in him and in Dalmi and how he was her comfort during such a difficult time in her youth, yada yada. And then we are introduced to Dosan and we are expected to root for Dosan because he's the one who we should actually root for. And the thing is, you know, that could work. But why? Why did we spend all that time building that investment with a character who was going to get sidelined? And I say that Castaway Diva still has some threads of that while learning from the previous drama's mistakes because, you know, Kiho is a mystery. And I think it's better to not know who Kiho is and who is obviously going to be the male lead by virtue of this being a K-drama. And of course, you know, the childhood connection takes precedence over everything else. But anyway, it's better to not know rather than get invested in someone and then see them get sidelined by someone else who you're meant to root for. The mystery was better. Although, once again, it was pretty obvious to me by the second episode who Kiho actually was. And of course, by virtue of the billing, I will talk about this in next week's episode. And okay, let me say this, ha. It's not actually that much of a love triangle. It's not. I think, you know, I'm seeing the seeds of people saying, better romantic chemistry with Woo-hak. I like them better. Oh, they're so much closer already. I'm seeing the seeds of it and I'm done, guys. I'm done. People are acting like it's a love triangle, but it's not. They are brothers, okay? They are brothers and they're not actively pursuing Mokha. So we're not in a love triangle, but people are planting the seeds of that already in their minds, not in the show, in their own minds. And you know what? Let me just say this. If you are fixated on the minimal, you know, quote-unquote love triangle and the Kiho mystery and you don't care and you barely watch Ranju and Mokha's like parallel stories, if you're that kind of person and you think like your enjoyment of this show and your opinion on it is going to depend on who Mokha's gonna end up with and if it's not the one you like, if you're gonna be that person, that's on you. That's totally on you. You are still with the Park Hyeryun of 2020. Because I think she has done a lot to avoid the mistakes of the past. Actually, making them brothers who are really close. Although, you know, Kiho or Bogol's personality is a little more aloof. He's not as expressive as Woo-hak. And like, that's just part of his character. But you can tell that they're close, that they really do see each other as brothers and love each other. That's a huge improvement from two, you know, male leads who are very hostile towards each other. And yeah, they're not in love with Mokha. They're not actively pursuing her. She has a good relationship with Woo-hak so far because, as we know, he's the more expressive one. He's the more curious one. And now we are seeing her interacting more with Bogol and they're building that relationship as well. And we're gonna see how he continues to help her from their childhood to him now as the producer of the show that Ranju and Mokha are on. you know what? Castaway Diva is a lot more than a love triangle. And I'm glad that although I'm seeing just the seeds of it, I'm not seeing the full-blown disaster that it was back in my early K-drama watching days. So the verdict is I am finishing Castaway Diva. We're already halfway through. I'm very, very happy that this only has 12 episodes instead of 16. You know, less time to make crucial mistakes that would ruin this experience. And yeah, the pacing is great. Knowing that this is episode 6, yeah, we've come a long way and I'm excited to see where it goes. So that's it for me today. Final thoughts on Castaway Diva so far. You know, I don't love it. It's not the best drama of the year or anything. It, yeah, didn't give me the immediate brain rot that I first had with Startup before it was replaced by frustration. Although, you know, I was young and inexperienced and I did not know the ways of the K-drama world back then. But now I do. Anyway, I expected this. I mean, Park Hyeryeon makes very watchable dramas. Not groundbreaking, not life-changing. My investment always varies, but you know, they're all very watchable and they're entertaining. Definitely gonna finish it. And now to the third anniversary thoughts. Guys, this is so weird. It's so weird to be having this full circle moment with the podcast. You know, talking about Park Hyeryeon again. Talking about Eunbin. Talking about so many dramas that I've watched in the past 3 years. I don't know if I've mentioned this, but when I started, I think I only watched 20. And now I've watched, you know, 130 plus. And I've reviewed so many of them. It's really so much to look back on. And it's just weird to think about how this podcast has seen me through, you know, peak pandemic and then the last year of my college life and then unemployment and now grad school. Like, you guys are getting front row seats to major phases of my life through my reflections on K-dramas. So, crazy, crazy stuff. I'm grateful for the past 3 years, for everyone who's listened to this, shared it to others in the past 3 years. Thank you so much. Looking forward to our fourth anniversary. Ah! Oh my gosh. And I'm looking forward to how the podcast will grow and all the K-dramas we'll be watching together and discussing and all the brain rot I want to have. Oh, I'm waiting for my next big brain rot and you will hear about it. Trust me, you're gonna hear about it when it happens next. But thank you for being here. Anyone who's listening for the first time, anyone who's listening for the 125th time, thank you so much. So that's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening and I will see you soon.